Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
We're West Australians. We don't see rain very often. It's a bit of a special treat, isn't it, to have these things falling from the sky? Precipitation. I just also just get a sense that as heaven opens, as we're heading into the winter, we're really going to sense heaven spiritually open over our church, over your lives this Easter. It doesn't need to be just all about hot cross buns and all of those sorts of things, Easter eggs, even though they're great. But I just pray that in your homes and in your families that heaven will open. This weekend is perhaps the most significant weekend of the year. I think it is anyway. And as I ponder what Christ has done for us, the significance of this moment, for those of us that have never experienced the reality of Jesus, my prayer for you is that tonight you will get to do that. And maybe you've been walking with Jesus a really long time. My prayer for you is that you will get to reaffirm the power of what Christ did for you on the cross. You know, Easter Friday is also known as Good Friday, isn't it? Have you ever wondered what's so good about Good Friday? That someone would actually call this Friday in the year Good Friday? I've often pondered about what Good Friday actually means. I'm 43 years old, and you know, when I think about Good Friday, I do think about my childhood a little bit. I had my early childhood in Malaysia, and when I was about 9 years old, Mum and Dad had paid for some contractors, some tradies, to build a bit of an outdoor laundry area made out of cement. It had a little lip, like a half wall thing, and that's where you know, we'd wash the clothes and all of that sort of stuff. And it had like a drainage area and all of that. And at 9 years old, I fancied myself as a little bit of the quality control person of the house. If you wanted to know what I was like at 9 years old, I was chubby and really annoying. I know you find that very hard to believe. I was chubby and really annoying, and I just thought I'd check up on the work of the tradies after they did all that they did. I thought I'd go out there and check on the quality of their work. I hadn't, you know, in my 9 year old brain, I didn't occur to me that cement needed to set. And so I just wanted to test out their work. And so I just got out there and I started to step on the wall and the outdoor laundry area that they built. And as soon as I put my foot in it, it all collapsed. All of it. And as soon as I put my foot in, I thought, I've got to get out. And as I tried to get out, I left 9-year-old footprints all over. And so the thing was literally absolutely wrecked. And it was funny for a moment, and then I was filled with dread. You know how when it suddenly occurs to you what you've done? I knew that I'd done the wrong thing. But I didn't tell Mum and Dad, because I thought, you know, this is bad. This is really, really bad. And I just thought, if I didn't tell Mum and Dad, they wouldn't think that it's me. I have an Asian mum. She knows what I think before I think it. Anyhow, I didn't tell them. And so, you know, mum and dad obviously knew it was me. And so as soon as they saw it, they called for me. Mum still calls me by my Chinese name. She goes, Kang! Come here. Did you step on the cement? To which I had nowhere to go. And when your Asian mum asks you whether you've done it, you just go. And so I said, you know, I'm sorry, mummy. I'm sorry, daddy, I did it. And as I look back at that time in my life and many other times since then, I realized that Mum and Dad, what I thought my behavior, what I thought would create a chasm between them and me, that they would stop loving me for what I've done. In fact, I come to realize that Mum and Dad loved me just as much after I told them I'd done it as before I did it. You know, I've done a lot of bad things since then. Mum just had got no idea. She thinks my brother did it all, because I'm the youngest, so I get away with everything. I blame my big brother. But I'm not prone to navel-gazing much. But over the years, there have been two profound shapers in my life that, as I look back, were actually linked to that early childhood of my life in growing up in my house. Firstly is this: as I grew up, as I became an adult, it's the realization and the subsequent journey of belief in how much this Jesus that I've come to know actually loves me and what he did for me. And secondly, having my own kids and how unconditionally I love them, I've come to realize that what Mum and Dad did for me, which is show me unconditional love regardless of my behavior, was actually a foretaste of the Christ that I would one day get to know. and the love I could give to my children now that I have them in my life. And for me, as I look back, how my parents loved me was actually a bit of a foretaste, a bit of a teaser to the Christ that I would one day get to know, who loves me not because of whether I performed well or not, but because of who he saw that I was in him. Over the years, I realized that completely naturally, without anyone even teaching me, I just naturally did bad things. I thought bad things. I behaved in ways that were not constructive. I was naturally predisposed to doing things that might have been fun in the moment, but they were not constructive to my future. And the good things I should have been thinking, the good things I should have been doing, I didn't do. I don't know about you, but doing bad things is so much easier than doing good things. How many of you know that you don't accidentally, by chance, just like that, eat kale? No one ever accidentally eats kale, right? But a packet of Tim Tams? Just make yourself a cup of tea or a cup of coffee, next minute, it's all gone. Oh, I just had a snack-cident. What I began to realize through growing through those years, that I was naturally predisposed. No one has to teach a toddler to be naughty, right? I just realized, why are you laughing, Kelly? No one has to teach a toddler to be naughty. I began to realize that inside of me, I was naturally predisposed to the things that were damaging to me. The Bible actually calls that sin. These are things that we're born into, and if we were born into it, if we're naturally predisposed to it, then I can tell you now, none of us in and of our own accord can actually get ourselves out of it. And as I look back on my early childhood and what mum and dad and how they loved me and that unconditional love they showed toward me, I began to think about the fact that 3 years before that cement incident, my father's brother, had heard some amazing news. He heard some great news. He came and studied in Australia. This was 1980, 1981. And he came and studied in Australia and he heard some amazing news. See, our family comes from a long line of Buddhists. And Buddhists is an ancient religion. And I don't know if you're familiar with any kind of world religions, but religions demand or expect that we measure up. That we perform. Religions demand that we need to come up with our own good behavior, come up with our own sense of peace. Certainly with Buddhism, we need to attain our own kind of calmness, and it demands that we strive to attain some kind of ultimate state of detachment, to maybe experience nirvana. It demands that we come up to a standard. But how many of you know that if we're predisposed to these things, it's so much easier to do bad things and think bad thoughts and figure out what is. It's so much easier to not do the things that are good for us than to have religion demand that of us is surely deflating. And my uncle had heard this good news, and the good news was this, that there is a God who loves us, that does not expect us to measure up to him, but he measured down to us. I want to relieve the pressure valve off of your life tonight when you think about what's so good about Good Friday. It's the fact that we've got a holy God who understands that we could not measure up to him, and so he measured down to us. He came down as flesh. He came down as man to walk as we walk, to understand how we feel. Religion tells you that you will never be good enough. Try harder. Shame on you when you can't measure up. Religion tells you you're not worthy to even be in this room tonight. Look at all these people that got all their act together. Religion shames you for what you don't have, and yet I want to tell you tonight, don't come here looking for religion because you won't find it. But you'll find a Jesus who measured down to you and me. Thank God for Good Friday, and thank God that it is good. The real God knew that we are born into a world of sin, that on the inside that we're predisposed to it, and God made himself man in Jesus. And on that cross, when they whipped him, when they made him repulsive, when they plunged a crown of thorns on his head, when they stripped flesh off his back, when he was disfigured, all of our humanity's brokenness and sickness and evil and sin and darkness and confusion and depression and anxiety and addictions and all of the things that you can list
was appropriated onto him. Catch this. So that whenever God sees you, he doesn't see you and me for all of our muck. He sees the perfect Jesus. And when he looked at Jesus that day on the cross, he saw all of us in his eyes. Thank God that Good Friday is good news. That you and I didn't need to measure up, but he measured down to us. That Jesus made himself rejected and repulsive in our place. That he took on our shame. He took on our guilt. He took on our separated state between us and God. And when he breathed his last breath, Jesus said, "It is finished." What was finished? The accusation that you're not worthy. What was finished? The shame that you think you ought to carry day to day. Come on, are you out there? What was finished? Your struggle, your dysfunction. When Jesus said it is finished, he wiped it all away. I come from a long line of religious people, a religion that never worked. It could never. That demand to measure up could have never worked on any of humanity. Religion tells you, if only people know what you're struggling with, you're not worthy to be here. But at Easter, what's so good about Good Friday is that you need to know Jesus not only knows what you're struggling with, he died to take it away. Yeah. He died to take it away. When my mom and dad heard this good news, their lives were changed forever. And I believe that that was the reason why they could, in their own way, show me or give me a foretaste of this Christ that I would discover myself, that they loved me unconditionally. So as I look back at these shaping moments in my life, I could see that what mom and dad had showed me as a kid, I then grew up to discover was affirmed by Jesus Christ, which is now perpetuated in me in the next generation. Thank God for Good Friday. Maybe you've been brought here tonight and all that you've seen of Easter has been religion. Maybe all that you've seen has been religious paraphernalia, religious practice. But I want to tell this to you tonight. If you've come here looking for a religious moment, you won't find it. But if you've come to encounter the person of Jesus, if you've come to encounter God himself, you've come to the right place. Jesus actually said this in Matthew 11, verse 28. Are you tired? Are you worn out? In other words, have you had enough? You burnt out on religion? Jesus says, forget about all that. Just come to me. Get away with me and you will recover your life. This is good news. Stop trying to measure up. Paul, in fact, writes this to the church in Galatia, which is this church that he led. In the Bible, it says this, Galatians 2, verse 2, 21. If a living relationship with God could come by rule-keeping, then Christ died unnecessarily. I want to tell you that Jesus didn't die unnecessarily. You don't have to keep a bunch of rules. You just need to open up your heart to him. See, this is what's so good about Good Friday. It's essentially Jesus saying, come as you are. Come as you are, warts and all. Come as you are in your struggle. Come as you are in your inability to pull yourself out of the darkness, in the frame of mind that you're in. On the cross, with his arms wide open, pinned to that wooden piece of wood. Jesus demonstrated to us that this is what love looks like. When they ripped his body apart and took your place, he said, this is what love looks like. All you need to do is open up your heart and an exchange is going to happen. My place for yours. John 3 says this in verse 16 and 17. Make this your reality this Easter. It says this. This is how much God loved the world. He gave his son, his one and only son, and this is why, so that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone, that includes you and me, can have a whole and a lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. He didn't, on that cross, he didn't point out all of your flaws on that cross. He took on all of your flaws. He said, you don't even need to think about it. I've taken it on myself. As I think about my own childhood as a nine-year-old boy, I thought my naughty behavior would actually create a separation between my mom and dad and me. I thought that I wasn't worthy in that moment because I behaved so badly that they would reject me, that they would not love me. But they showed me a love there was a foretaste of a love that I would come to discover as a grown man. That there was an unconditionality. That they loved me just as much after I told them and I put my foot in the cement as I did before I told them. And you need to understand that there's nothing that you could have done today that would make him love you less. I've come to have my own kids, and there is nothing my children could ever do that would make me love them less. I love them from the moment Chrissy told me that she was pregnant. And I will love them till my last breath. And it's maybe in my own even imperfect self that maybe I can communicate to you that you have a Jesus that loves you regardless of whether you think you've measured up or not, because he's already measured down to you. Someone say amen. This is what's so good about Good Friday. My mom and dad loved me with an unconditional love. It was a foretaste of what I would discover for myself. See, my mom and dad loved me with the love that raised me, but Jesus loved me with the love that changed me. He loved me with a love that would save me. If this was my mom and dad looking at me, guilty of being naughty, and I think they were smirking a little bit because they knew it was me. Let's be honest, parents, we know all the things that our kids are up to, right? All I needed to access the unconditional love that they already had for me was simply to say, I'm sorry, mommy. I'm sorry, daddy, that was me. I did it. Jesus said it is finished. He had already purchased everything that we need to live free and whole. Everything, it's already been done. He said it is finished. He's never going to do it again. All that we need to unlock and access what he's already done for us is to simply humble ourselves to say that, well, I need you, Jesus. I can't get myself out of this mess that I'm in. I was born into it, and I certainly can't get myself out of it. I don't have in and of myself as a human being, don't have the solution to my human problem. Only you, Jesus. I want to encourage you today. The only thing that you need to access everything that Jesus has already done for you, all of that forgiveness, all of that healing, all of that wholeness, all of that freedom, is not more religious ritual or more religious work or more rule keeping. It's simply these words: Jesus, I need you. Open. The veil is torn. You saw that today. That's why the curtain dropped. There is no more barrier between you and Jesus. There is no more. There is nothing you've done this morning or last night or last week or last month that could ever stand in between you and what Jesus has done for you. All that you need to say, Jesus, I need you. I receive you into my life. Would you stand on your feet right across this room?
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.